With a message from God's Word, here's Charles Stanley.
Have you ever wondered why Christians act the way they do? I don't mean just bad conduct, but good conduct. Why do they act the way they do? Well, there are probably many reasons, but one of the primary reasons is what I want to talk about in this message. Because one of the primary reasons that you and I act the way we act is because of our spiritual gift. When you and I trusted Jesus Christ as our personal Savior, He gave us many gifts. But of those many gifts that He's given us and talents and so forth, one of those is a motivational gift. There is a gift that drives us. There's one that underlies everything else that we do. And when you and I operate out of that spiritual gift, we can do our best. We have our greatest sense of fulfillment, greatest sense of accomplishment and achievement in life, and we're the most productive. When we don't act out of that gift, all of those things are less than they could be. And you'll recall how often we've talked about the Holy Spirit, of who He is, a person of the Trinity. He's the promise of the Father, the seal of the believer for all eternity. He's our teacher and our guide and our helper. And the Scripture says that He's involved in every single area of our life, our salvation, our sanctification, and our service. And the primary reason He's given us spiritual gifts, and especially that motivational gift, is that you and I would serve Him in a fashion that would be most fruitful and productive and good for the kingdom of God. But at the same time, it also enables us to understand other people, enables them to understand us and why we act the way we act. Because you see, the truth is, if we are not understood by other people, it severs relationships. And there are many marriages that have fallen apart because somebody didn't understand the other person's spiritual gift and they reacted in a negative fashion. They didn't understand, and so little by little they were either driven away or felt that they were, or the other person just walked away. And so there are seven major gifts here that we're speaking of. And today I want to talk about the gift of prophecy. And I want you to turn, if you will, to the 12th chapter of Romans. And while there are three different divisions of the gifts by the Apostle Paul in Romans, 1 Corinthians, and Ephesians, and he speaks not only of the motivational gifts, but other manifestations of the gift of the Holy Spirit in our life and the many, many areas of ministry. There are seven primarily motivational gifts found in this 12th chapter. And as we go through them, you're going to find yourself somewhere. If you will listen carefully to each one of these and not miss a one, it's going to affect your relationships to other people. It's also going to affect the feelings that you have, the emotions that you have about whatever you do in life. Because if you want to do it at your best and you want to glean the best out of your activity and your involvement with people and things in life, then you operate out of your gift. So listen to what he says in this 12th chapter, beginning in verse 4. For just as we have many members in one body, and all the members do not have the same function, speaking of the body, the hand does one thing, the eye does something else, so we who are many are one body in Christ, and individually members one of another. That is, the whole church, the body of Christ. Not talking about denominations, but talking about the whole body of Christ. We each individually have our particular part. And so he says in verse 6, since we have gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, each of us is to exercise that gift accordingly. If prophecy, according to the proportion of his faith. If service, in his serving, or he who teaches in his teaching, he who exhorts in his exhortation, he who gives with liberality, he who leads with diligence, he who shows mercy with cheerfulness. And so all of us are going to have one of those underlying motivational drives or gifts that God has given us as believers in order to serve Him and in order to live out the godly life that He has for us to give. So let's begin today with this gift of prophecy. And let me begin also by saying, let's understand what that word prophecy means. Naturally, in the Old Testament and in the New Testament, it also meant foretelling. That is, foretelling today things that are going to happen in the future. But that's not the only meaning for it, because it also means to tell forth. That is, to proclaim. And so while in the Old Testament, the New Testament, when there was no Old Testament, New Testament as we know it, no Bible, God oftentimes spoke and foretold through His prophets, through His servants, things that would happen. And today, we cannot say that God does not sometimes warn us, sometimes tell us, maybe not tell us specifically what's going to happen, but give us a very strong warning that something is about to happen. And so He still does that. But when somebody says, I have a word of prophecy from God as if to add to the Scripture, forget it, because it is not true. God's Word is complete. But individually in our lives, and maybe even a word of caution for a whole nation, can God still do that? Yes, He can. Does He? No doubt that He does. But it's very specific and very seldom. And it is not something that everyone who has the gift of prophecy does not have the gift to foretell the future. So primarily, what He's speaking of here is speaking forth the truth. Now, let me say a couple of things. Number one, first of all, don't sit and listen to this and say, oh, I know somebody acts just like that. Or especially, you do not want to look at your wife or husband and say, well, that's the problem. Now I understand you are the problem in its marriage. Or to your parents or to your children. You need to listen carefully for yourself. What you're going to discover is this. You're going to discover in one of these gifts why you act the way you act. Likewise, you're going to discover why other people act the way they act. And you know what? When two people have two different gifts, begin to understand the reason why the other person acts the way they do. It's not because they're cantankerous and don't love you and obnoxious. It's because that is a gift. And if you don't understand that, you can have misunderstandings. So what we're going to do in these messages is this. We're going to give the characteristics of the person who has these gifts. Secondly, we're going to describe the misunderstandings, the ways those people are misunderstood as a result of exercising their gift. And thirdly, we're going to describe how the person with that gift acts when they're walking in the Spirit and how you can expect them to act when they're walking in the flesh or in their humanness or in disobedience to God. So you don't want to miss any of this. And beginning with the gift of prophecy. And so the first thing we want to deal with here is simply this, and that is, what are the characteristics of a person with the gift of prophecy? Well, the first one is simply this. They have a strong need to express themselves verbally. And usually, they're the kind of person who's going to speak first. They're going to be very prone to speak first. And especially, you'll see them rise up if there's a sense of injustice going on. Somebody has been mistreated, and oftentimes the person with the gift of prophecy will help take up their offense and speak exactly what they feel needs to be done. And in each of these gifts, what I'd like to do is to give you a biblical character that best describes them. And of course, of all the disciples, of all the apostles, who is the one who's always doing the talking, always out front? We know his name by the name of what? Peter, that's right. Because if you'll think about it, he's always up front telling Jesus what he ought to do and telling him why he ought not to do this and jumping in the water and doing all kind of things. One thing you'll have to admit about him, he lives up to his characteristics. And so when a person with a gift of prophecy desires to and is willing to speak to someone about their life, and that person comes to him and says, you know, here's what I'm going through in life, and the person with the gift of prophecy says, well, then on the basis of that, here's what you ought to do. And they go away and they come back and say, well, did you do what I asked you to do? No. Well, let me tell you something. The prophet's going to say, don't come back to me and talk to me until you do what I told you the first time. Now, sometimes they're misunderstood by that, but the gift of prophecy, listen, that person has a very clear discernment about things, and they know that if you don't take the first step in getting this straightened out, don't come back talking to me because you just wasted my time and yours if you don't intend to do something about it. And so that person is very strong in those areas. Now, as we said, Peter, for example, at Pentecost, when the time comes for somebody to preach, who steps up to it? It's not that he was all that more intelligent than anybody else. That was his spiritual gift, and certainly God gave him that because He intended to use him. And the person with the gift of prophecy, God will use you. That doesn't mean you have to get on a platform and speak, whether you're a homemaker or whatever the situation may be. You're going to operate out of that gift on your job, in your vocation, your family, among your friends, among strangers. That's who you are. A second characteristic is this, and that is that person has a very strong ability to discern the character and motives of other people. For example, a person with the gift of prophecy can oftentimes walk in a room where there's a group and can discern just like that something's not right. There's a wrong attitude here. There's no spirit of harmony here. They can discern what's going on. Oftentimes they can hear somebody speak and discern whether there is hypocrisy, insincerity, or that they're real. And God has given the person the gift of prophecy, that sense of discernment. And it's very important because the person with the gift of prophecy is so deeply committed to the Word of God that anything that looks like that it is untrue, looks like that it's deception, looks like that it's dishonest, just something rises up inside of the gift of prophecy because they want to correct it. Now, it's not that they're correcting in anger, it's they want to correct it because the person with the gift of prophecy knows if you don't correct this now, the future consequences are going to be something you do not want to have to deal with in life. And so they come on strong as a result of that. Sometimes, oftentimes, they can make quick judgments because of their discernment. And oftentimes, they are misunderstood because of those quick judgments. Now, of course, who is a good example of that? Peter. For example, when Ananias and Sapphira brought their gift to lay it down at the apostles' feet, like other people had been doing, as soon as Ananias came, Peter didn't say, "Well, I'm so glad you came to give that gift, and we're very grateful, and I'm sure God's going to be able to." You know what he said to him? He said, "Ananias, why have you lied to God?" The gift of prophet is not concerned about people's feelings. They're concerned about truth and righteousness and about doing the right thing and not being hypocritical and dishonest and deceptive about it. Now, listen carefully. That doesn't mean that every time a prophet sees this, that they're just going to be that blunt. But there is sometime that tendency. And as we said, and we come toward the end, we're going to talk about how the prophet operates when they're walking in the spirit, what this is all about, and when they're walking in the flesh, they're going to operate a certain way. Then, of course, there's the whole issue of wholehearted involvement. When a person who has the gift of prophecy, when they decide to get involved in something, they throw everything they've got into it. They're going to do their best. They're going to do whatever's necessary to get the job done, because that's their commitment. That's the way they see things. And a good example of that is that when Peter was in the storm with his fellow disciples, and he said to Jesus walking on the water that night, he said, "Jesus, if that's you, bid me to come to you." Jesus said, "Well, Peter, come." The average person would have looked at the water and said, "Oh my goodness, I need to think about this thing. This is in the storm, and suppose I step in." You know what happened? When Jesus said, "Come," he jumped in the water. A quick response to opportunities and situations and circumstances. That is the gift of prophecy. And oftentimes the gift of prophecy has little patience with people who make a decision and they vacillate. "Well, now I know I made that decision, but I got to consider this and consider that and consider the other." No, the gift of prophecy makes a decision, gets with it, works at it, whatever it takes, no vacillation, no going back and forth, which oftentimes confuses a lot of situations. Then the person with the gift of prophecy is open, listen, very open to correction. The gift of prophecy, listen, who is committed to righteousness and walking in obedience to God's Word, following the Scripture, is likewise committed to being open for correction and open to blind spots. Why? Because not only do they want to see righteousness and holiness in other people's lives, but they also want it in their life. So if you see someone like that as the gift of prophecy and you were to say to them, "You know, I've watched how you treat so-and-so, and you know, I think you're a little blind to the effect that you're having on them. You're coming across a little harsh." And well, the gift of some other gift may say, "Well, now let me tell you why." The gift of prophecy more than likely is going to say, "Well, I really do appreciate you pointing that out to me, because I don't want to come across that way. I want to come across because that's not what I feel. If I come across that way, please forgive me, and I will do my best to correct that." Why? Because they're committed to doing the right thing. The right thing in the right way. The Word of God, following the Scripture, is extremely important to them, and it governs and guides everything that they do. And so they're open to that. And when you look at Peter, for example, and you remember when they were going fishing and he didn't want to go to begin with. He said, "Well, you know, fish all night." Well, they went anyway. And finally, when they came with all these fish in the boat, that thing about to sink, what did he do? He fell on his face and said, "Depart from me, I'm a sinful man, O God." Willing to be corrected And that's true in the life of Peter, and it should be true in the life of all of us, no matter what your spiritual gift is. When you reach the stage that you're so high and mighty, and you think your position is such that it's threatened because you can't take rebuke or you can't take a suggestion, then you have reached a level in your life that is not godly. Because the Scripture is very clear about being open to correction, because a wise man, a woman, is open to correction. And the gift of prophecy is open to correction because the person with the gift of prophecy wants to grow, desires to have this discerning spirit, and knows the importance of living a godly life and being wise enough to make correction when those corrections are necessary. Likewise, the whole issue of loyalty is very important in the life of the gift of prophecy. Because here's what you'll find in the gift of prophecy. They are very loyal to those with whom they work or to those to whom they are responsible, to whom they are accountable. Very loyal, for example, whether it's in their marriage, among their children, their parents, or whatever it might be. Loyalty goes a long ways. And in the society in which you and I live, loyalty doesn't seem to mean much. Because, you know, you can have friends today and you think you're great friends and intimate friends, and they just walk away as if nothing ever happened, as if you never knew them, and you think, how can you just walk away? The gift of prophecy will never walk away. Listen, only when they get in the flesh could they do that, but as they walk in the Spirit, what's natural for them is to prove to be loyal. Now watch this. Even to a mistake sometime, their loyalty, they would stick beside somebody who's done wrong. Listen, not because they want to justify their wrong, but because that's their sense of loyalty. I want to help you. And so they're the kind of person who doesn't walk away. All of us have had friends who walked away. We don't understand. Or our husbands or wives who've just walked away. And you think, how could I live with you so long? Or how could you and I have been friends this long? How could we have gone through the experiences we've gone through? And you just walk away as if there's nothing there. The gift of prophecy, very strong in loyalty. And when that person is, when you prove to be disloyal to them, it is extremely, extremely painful to them. And of course, you remember that the reason, of course, is because they're so committed to the Word, loyal to the Word. And for example, when Jesus says to his disciples in the 6th chapter of John, are y'all walking away too? Because they were just walking away. The crowd walked away. They didn't like what he said. Anytime he started talking about suffering and death and crucifixion and self-denial, they just start thinning out. And finally, he turned to him and said, well, are you all walking away too? And Peter said, in essence, he said, where are we going? He said, Lord, you're the one who has the words of eternal life. Very, very loyal to the Lord Jesus. Somebody says, well, now, wait a minute. If he was so loyal to Jesus, what about what happened in the garden? I'm going to come to that. When you get in the flesh, a lot of things happen. And then, for example, willing to suffer. The person who has the gift of prophecy is willing to suffer. That is, when they see unrighteousness and when they see things going on that are not right, they're willing to take a stand for what is right. They're willing to stand firm for what's right, even if it costs them. If it costs them their friends, if it costs, for example, they're going to be loyal and truthful to the Word of God, even if being true to the Word of God costs them relationships, they're going to be true to the Word. If they have to decide whether it's Word or relationships, they're going to be true to the Word. And they're willing to suffer the consequences of being obedient to God, doing what God calls them to do, walking in righteousness. They're willing to suffer. In fact, you recall that Peter said he counted it a privilege, a joy to suffer for the Lord. And so many people today, they don't want to suffer. And if they think something's going on, it's going to cost them a little suffering, you know what? They're going to leave. They're going to evaporate. They're gone. You can't trust them to stand by in times of difficulty and hardship. Listen, when you're going through troubles and trials and heartaches in your life and you want to do what's right, the gift of prophecy will stand by you, defend you if at all possible. Unless it's something that you really need to be corrected about, then they'll try to correct you if at all possible and stand with you and help you get corrected. And they're willing to suffer other people's criticism and judgments no matter what. There's something about the gift of prophecy rooted and grounded in the truth. Rooted and grounded in the Word that makes them an awesome friend, a loyal, devoted friend who will confront you when you need to be confronted, who is willing for you to confront them when they need to be confronted, but they're going to be there. And likewise, they're very persuasive in defining truth. For example, the gift of prophecy is not going to leave you with a lot of questions and a lot of doubts. First of all, you're going to know exactly what they believe. Secondly, with the Word of God, they're going to validate what they believe, and they're going to make it crystal clear. The gift of prophecy would never, for example, if the person with the gift of prophecy was a teacher or a speaker, whatever it might be, they're going to be sure that their explanation is on your level, whatever our level may be, simple and plain, easily understood, because they want you to do what's right. And the gift of prophecy knows that if you don't hear the truth and understand the truth, you're not going to live a godly life. And so they're going to work hard at making it clear, crystal clear and understandable, so that you can become the person God wants you to be. So here's some characteristics of the godly person. Now, they can be very easily misunderstood. So let's look at those misunderstandings. And as we said, these misunderstandings have caused people to divorce, people leave their job, people to be fired, kids walk away from their parents, parents just walk away from their kids, all kind of relationships break up because you say, I don't want to, you know what, you can't be a friend of that person, look how they act. They don't care anything about this friendship when they may be, listen, not only devoted to the friendship, but a bit of dependent upon the friendship and relationship. But the person, when they are misunderstood, it's very difficult. Now, how are they misunderstood in the light of those things we've talked about? Well, here's one way, and that is their sense of right and wrong and insistence on that is oftentimes judged as being intolerant. And because you bring up an issue here or you point out something that is not what it ought to be. For example, the gift of prophecy doesn't see many things as gray. It isn't sort of this and sort of that. It's either this or it's that. Now, you and I know that everything in life isn't necessarily black and white. It's not necessarily right and wrong. There are some areas that may have some grayness to them, but in the prophet's mind, not many. It'd be very few that he or she would not have a very clear understanding and a very clear opinion and a biblical opinion from their perspective of what's right and what's wrong. And so sometimes that person is misunderstood because, let's say, here's a wife who says, well, all a little bit of this not going to hurt our son or our daughter. It'd be okay for her to dress this way. And dad says, you know what? It's not going to happen. It's not going to happen because that's a sensuous way to dress, and I'm letting my daughter dress that way no matter what, and that's it. Well, he comes across that way. Why? Because the gift of prophecy is always has the big picture in mind and always looking at the future consequences of what goes on in a situation, a circumstance, or in somebody's life. And so they're going to come across, that is, they're going to be misunderstood as being a little harsh and a little judgmental at times, when the truth is they're just trying to protect. And the gift of prophecy has protection in mind oftentimes. A second way they'll be misunderstood is this, that their strong desire to proclaim truth is oftentimes interpreted as being disinterested in listening to the other person. Now, every woman will tell you at some time, well, you know, I'm just trying to tell you what's going on. Now, most husbands say, well, just give me the bottom line. In other words, give me the destination. Don't take me on the trip. That is, don't give me all of these experiences and all these things. And when she starts, and it's not, a man can be the same. When she starts, she loves the trip. And so she tells the trip and she tells all the things that have happened and where we're going and how we're going to get there. And the husband's sitting over here and says, okay, what's the destination? Just tell me what you want. Don't give me this long line. Just give it to me straight. Well, that's the way he sees things. And he may be generous as he can be, loving and kind, but he just, in other words, all that detail stuff is just superfluous. All you got to do is just tell him what you want. And he's going to say yes, or he's going to say no. And so your priming the pump doesn't really affect Mr. Gift of Prophecy for the simple reason, if it's right, it's right. If it's what he decides, if he thinks that's right and husbandly or whatever it might be, he's going to do it. But if he doesn't, the answer is going to be no. So you've wasted all that time taking him on the trip. Now, what you've done, You've had lots of fulfillment on taking him on the trip, and you just love telling about it. And you just know that when you get there, you're going to be so persuasive, he can't say no. But then he does say no. Then what happens? You say, well, if you don't care about me because you didn't listen to me at all. Well, he did listen to you. And while you were talking, he'd count up 10 reasons why he's not going to do it. And so the truth is, it's not that he's not listening. The truth is, he is listening. And what he's doing is validating his reason for saying no. You don't think that'll cause lots of problems? Yes, it will. But that's the difference between people who understand each other. And a woman, for example, is married to a man who has the gift of prophecy. She figures out pretty quickly, you know what, just give it to him straight, because he's going to appreciate giving it to him straight. Then if he says, well, I don't know about this, or no, say, okay, well, let's consider so-and-so. But everybody likes to be listened to. And sometimes, not all the time, and he doesn't have to be that way necessarily that strong sometimes, but it's easy to be misunderstood, but that's the way he thinks. It's not the trip, it's the destination. A third misunderstanding is that oftentimes frankness is viewed as harshness. Harshness. And for example, let's take Peter and Jesus. When Jesus said to Peter, or he said to his disciples in the 16th chapter of Matthew, he said, the Son of Man must be crucified and then die and be resurrected. And Peter whirled around and said, that is not what's going to happen. It's not going to happen. We're not going to let that happen to you. And Jesus said, Peter, you're acting like the devil. He didn't just caress Peter and say, now, Peter, let me explain this. He just said, you're acting like the devil. Peter was telling the Son of God what was not going to happen when what Jesus was saying is, here's God's predestined plan for me to come into the world, and I came for the purpose of dying on the cross and atoning for your sins, and I'm going to die, I'm going to be buried, I'm going to rise again, fulfill the Father's plan. Now, you're telling me I'm not going to do it. Peter, get thee behind me, Satan. This is what you're talking about is not the will of God. Jesus was speaking the truth in a strong fashion because he must correct Peter for the simple reason he knew that he had to keep his hand on Peter. Peter was willing to go to war for him. You talk about loyalty, get in the garden. He'd have taken on the whole Roman army with one sword if necessary to defend Jesus. But he had his weaknesses and his areas of fault like everybody does. Then, of course, the person with the gift of prophecy can be misinterpreted as thinking that he's only or she's only interested in groups of people and not individuals. And so what happens is the person says, you don't care about me. You just care about, in other words, you're just interested in lots of things. You don't care about me individually. Now, no one likes to feel that the person they're talking to is sharing their heart with is just one of a big group. We all want to feel individually that somebody cares for us. And sometimes people walk through the line on Sunday morning and say, well, I need to have a conference with you. I need a better hour. And you know what I have to say? I have to say, you know what? One of the greatest difficulties of being a pastor in a large church is, as much as you want to listen, and I do, as much as I want to hear how you're hurting, because it helps me to hear how you're hurting. It helps me to understand how God's answering your prayer. You need to capsule it in about 60 seconds and give it to me standing right here. And most people can if they have to. It's not that I don't care. And it's not that I don't want to hear. It's just that the situation, the circumstances are such that if I did that for all the people who want to talk, for example, you know what? Come Sunday morning, I wouldn't have anything to say, and that'd be the end of it. And so the person who doesn't understand that has a feeling oftentimes, well, you know, you just don't really care because if you did. And you see, the issue is this. The issue is that the person who has the gift of prophecy sees the big picture. But at the same time, they see the individual, each individual that makes up the big picture. It's not that they don't care. There are circumstances that oftentimes prevent that from being true. Then, of course, there's the issue of believing and feeling that the person has the gift of prophecy because maybe of the way they go about things, that their efforts to get results in what they're doing is that they use gimmicks. That is, instead of trusting God, when the truth is that's not true at all. Now, I agree that oftentimes some churches, they'll use all kind of gimmicks to get people to come or get them to do this or do that or the other, which we do not do in this fellowship, and I'll tell you why. I believe if you preach the Word of God, you tell people the truth, you show them the truth, you show them why you're doing what you're doing, and you're giving them biblical reasons for doing so and answers, then you trust God to speak to those people to do what they need to do, and not use some kind of gimmicks to motivate them to do this, that, and the other. The person with the gift of prophecy, for example, will use methods to accomplish what they believe God wants them to accomplish, and everybody doesn't agree with the way that necessarily that one group may do a thing. But the truth is, oftentimes, that their desire to do the will of God and to be what God wants them to be, and maybe use some method that somebody says, well, you know what, you're just using a gimmick. When in the mind of the person with the gift of prophecy, they just want to see God's work done. What they're interested in is the end result. And to them, this justifies the end result because it helps get God's work done. But if a person misunderstands that, misinterprets that, sometimes it can create a real difficulty and hardship. And then, of course, the emphasis on decisions appear that you don't care about a person's spiritual growth. Now, the gift of prophecy, because that person is so scripturally anchored, they want to be sure that a person, for example, who makes a decision, they understand what they were doing, they understand the Word of God, they want to be sure that you understand this, that you understand eternal security, for example, a person being saved. They don't want to go away with a person not clear about that decision. So their emphasis on making a decision is sometimes interpreted, well, you just don't care about my spiritual life. The only thing, you just want me to make a decision. You don't care about, that's not true at all. It's that emphasis is there because the person with the gift of prophecy has the big picture, looking at the future consequences and knowing if you're uncertain, not quite sure, have some questions not answered about the decision you're making in the future. Listen, when the heat gets on, you may wobble and walk away and disobey God. So they're always looking for the future consequences of what happens in the decisions that we make. But sometimes that's oftentimes misunderstood. Then, of course, there's the whole issue of public boldness and sort of strict rules and regulations that sometimes the gift of prophecy can come across that way. And it's not that they don't care. What happens is sometimes a person can be so intimidated by someone else's boldness that they back off. Say, you know what, you don't care about relationships. If you care about relationships, you'd be soft and kind and sweet and loving. And people can be soft and kind and sweet and loving in different ways. And when a person with the gift of prophecy is misunderstood, then what happens is they think, well, you don't really care. You're more interested in yourself. And you don't want to have a personal, intimate relationship. Intimacy involves, listen, I'm not talking about sex, we're talking about relationships, we're talking about genuine love and how you operate with each other and understand each other and sensitive to one another and talk to each other and forgive each other. Intimacy involves all those things. And a person with the gift of prophecy can be just as intimate as anyone else can be. But oftentimes, if they're misunderstood, they will take something as, well, you don't, that's not who you really are, and I've got my feelings hurt. And it's amazing what happens to relationships when people are misunderstood. What's the driving underlying motivation of this person's heart? And because a person is bold in what they say, doesn't mean they don't care. Doesn't mean they're not sensitive to a person. But that's what God's given them. That's the way they operate. And once you understand that, then you don't have that misunderstanding. Now, with those things in mind, let's talk about something very important here. We're talking about walking in the Spirit, which means to walk in obedience to God. That's the way, operating in our spiritual gift, we're the most productive, the most fruitful. We do our best, we get our best, we're the most fulfilled, the most satisfied, the happiest, no matter what your vocation or what you're doing, relationships, friends, you name it. When we're walking in the Spirit, what happens is we profit from it, and everybody else does too. Now, what happens when you're out of the Spirit? For example, if God calls you to do something that you don't want to do, what is your first response? Your first response is not to say, I don't want to do that. Your first response is to come up with some kind of excuse or reason to justify your desire not to do it. And then the Spirit of God works in your heart and He shows you why you can. You come up with another reason why you can't. And then He works on you a little bit deeper. And you come up with another reason why you can't. Now watch this carefully. What happens is, each time you do that, you choose to disconnect. The Spirit of God is within you, guiding you, showing you what to do, and you choose not to do it. You disconnect from Him. I don't mean that you're lost, but I mean in your relationship to Him, you say no. So you make a disconnection. No, 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 disconnect. And here's what happens. This is what causes kids to rebel against their parents. It's what causes husbands and wives to ultimately leave, separate, divorce from each other. It also causes people to lose their job. It also causes people, for example, to lose their positions in life, whatever it might be, because they continually disconnect. And if husband and wife, if somebody doesn't deal with this excuse for their conduct, and they disconnect and disconnect and disconnect, and finally, you know what happens? They just walk away from the marriage. Kids just walk away from their parents. Parents just walk away from their kids. The employer says, you know what? You're gone. So this whole issue of disconnecting is because we choose not to do what we know in our heart we ought to do. And so let's look at this for a moment. I want you to see the consequence of this. Let's say, first of all, for example, a person with the gift of a prophecy, when they're walking in the Spirit, they are very truthful about everything, and make clear. In other words, they want to be truthful. They walk in truth. They operate out of truth. When that same person gets in the flesh, what happens? They can become very deceptive. They can lie. They can become very deceptive. Now, you say, well, how can you be so committed to truth and become very deceptive? Well, you know what? You get in the flesh and all kinds of things can happen. The second thing I want you to notice is this. A person with the gift of prophecy is committed to obedience and righteousness. But when they get in the flesh, they can become willful and very rebellious. I want you to watch this. They're rebellious. Thirdly, a person who has the gift of prophecy is naturally very sincere. You can tell that they're very sincere in what they do. They're meaningful. They know that they believe what they say. When that person gets in the flesh, listen, they're an example of hypocrisy. They say one thing, do something else. They say they believe this, but they operate in a certain way. And so what happens is, in the flesh, they're the very opposite of what they could be and ought to be. Likewise, a person with the gift of prophecy is very committed to morality, of walking morally at all times. When that person gets in the flesh, they can become very sensuous and morally impure. Every single one of these has its positive and negative effect when that person gets in the flesh. A person who has the gift of spirit is naturally very bold in what they do and what they say and their confidence and assurance because they keep bringing it back to the Word of God. But when that person gets in the flesh, the same person can become very fearful. And when they become very fearful, they become very, very ineffective. But when they get in the flesh, instead of trusting God, looking to His Word and believing Him, they become very fearful. A person who has the gift of prophecy is very forgiving. Even though, for example, they see this person doing what is wrong, they're very forgiving, want to reach down and help them, bring them out of that, show them the future consequences of their wrongdoing, and help them. When they get in the flesh, they can reject that other person without any problem. Just absolutely shut them out, turn them off, reject them, walk away. When they get in the flesh, well, you should have done what I told you to do. Well, if you'd have done so and so, and so they just reject the other person. Likewise, a person with a gift of prophecy is very persuasive because that's the gift that God has given them. When they speak, they're very persuasive. But when they're in the flesh, they're so contentious and so aggressive and warlike, nobody wants to believe them. And so everything has its effect. Now watch this carefully, because we forget this. Each one of these is related to the other. Let's say, for example, a person who is very truthful gets in the flesh and becomes deceptive. Now watch what happens. That deception is going, listen, that deception is going to show itself, because deception means that I'm rebelling against God. So that person is also willful. It also means, if I'm not truthful, that my sincerity, now I'm living the life of a hypocrite. And likewise, that person who is rebellious, no longer sincere, and very willful, that person can become very sensuous and very immoral. Why? Because they've already set themselves up for it. Likewise, they're going to become fearful because they know they're living in disobedience to God, and they feel guilty, and they become fearful. Likewise, they are going to do what? They're going to reject people who try to correct them, for the simple reason now they're having to deal with this issue of their disobedience. And of course, instead of being persuasive, they're going to be on the aggressive, warlike to defend their conduct. Here's what I want you to see. When the person with this gift chooses not to walk in the Spirit, they're not affected in just one area. They're affected in every single area. And this is why people walk away. This is why people that you and I have known in the past who were godly people committed to walking in the Christian life, and we think, what happened to them? How can they be living this way? I know that they're saved. How can they be living this way now when they were so committed to you? I'll tell you why. Somewhere along the way, they got in the flesh in some area. And because they refused correction, because they refused repentance, because they defended their wrongdoing, now what's happened? What's happening is they've dug themselves a hole so deep, they don't know how to get out. Now they're living in hostility, anger, bitterness, resentment. They've broken relationships. Their life is no longer productive. It's no longer fruitful, and they keep digging. Listen, it may be a spoonful a day, but they're digging a hole so deep, they don't understand why and how did I get this way, and then on the defensive, not willing for anybody to correct them. What I want you to see is this. A person with the gift of prophecy or any other gift who chooses to walk away, who chooses to deliberately, willfully disobey God in some area, if it's not corrected, then it can have lifetime consequences. If it isn't corrected, you can ultimately destroy your Christian testimony and your witness. You can destroy relationships. You can destroy your children. You can destroy that marriage. You can destroy yourself in the area of vocation that you have. It's very important that you and I stay connected to the Holy Spirit. That is so intimately connected with Him that when He brings up something that's not right, we correct it. We deal with it right then. We don't defend ourselves. And if somebody has to come to you and say, here's what I see in your life, listen, whoever you are, listen, they may be dead wrong, but listen to them and at least consider it, because you know what happens? Let's say that they're dead wrong about it and their motivation's wrong. Listen in a way. You don't have to do it. But suppose they are dead right, and suppose their motivation is love. If they love you, and just like you as a parent, if you love your children, and I certainly trust that you do, you love your son, you love your daughter, and you say, sweetheart, the reason I'm saying to this is not wise. You must not do it. You cannot do it. Why? Because you're motivated by genuine love. You may come on strong and say, you know what? You cannot. And the reason you cannot is because I'm looking out for your future. I'm looking out for your moral purity. I'm looking out for you. I want you to be able to have a godly man. How are you going to have a godly man in your life as a husband when you not live the godly life? In other words, you may come on strong. And I would say to you as a teenager, you better listen to that. Because your parents have not only today in mind, they have your future. They have your whole future in mind. You can wreck it early in life. And we have a world of people about us who are kids who are absolutely destroying their whole life before they reach the age of 21 years of age. And those of us who live beyond that, you never come to a place in your life where you are not, listen, where you are not contemptible in some area. Walking in the power of the Holy Spirit means I daily choose to walk in obedience to the voice of God in my heart. And when He brings something to my mind, He may bring it through somebody I don't even like. If God just corrected me with people who just love me to death, that'd be one thing. But when God brings somebody to a point of correction in your life that you don't like them, at least listen. Because you see, we're all subject to misusing our gifts and oftentimes hurting other people and causing them hurt and pain and suffering. And you know what happens? Whenever you and I get out of the will of God, we don't hurt just one person. Can't do it. You can't hurt just one person. You're going to hurt this person, and it's going to spill over into this person's life and this person's life. When somebody says, well, it's my own business and I'm not hurting anybody else, yes, you are. The person with the gift of prophecy is a very important gift like all the other six. Can they be misunderstood? Yes. Can they get in the flesh and be guilty? Yes. That's why it's incumbent upon all of us not to disconnect to the Spirit and start giving excuses for not doing what God's called us to do, but say, yes, Lord, because I want good relationships. First of all, Father, with You, good relationships with my friends, my fellow employees, my fellow students, whatever it might be. That's a decision you have to make. It's a decision you want to make. If you could see the consequences of your conduct, you'd say, yes, God. If we could all see the consequences of sin in our life and what it would ultimately lead to, no doubt we'd say, yes, God. Yes, 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 I don't want to walk through that. And always keep an open heart available for somebody, if it's just the Holy Spirit Himself, to give correction when correction's needed. And you know what'll happen? You operate out of that gift. You do your best. You'll enjoy the best, most fruitful, most productive, most enjoyable, most fulfillment, and most joy in your life. Amen? Amen. And Father, how grateful we are that You have made these gifts so crystal clear, and You have given us warnings about disobedience and about obedience. And You've promised us that You would walk with us through every single experience in life. In fact, You said You'd never forsake us nor leave us. So I pray that every person who hears this message and maybe identifies themselves as a person with the gift of prophecy, help them to see how they can be misunderstood and therefore to be careful. And the person who lives with that person would understand, oh, now I understand why it appears the way it appears when that's not their heart at all. Thank You, Father, for loving us and forgiving us and cleansing us. And thank You for a love that knows no limits and no conditions. May we live and respond and relate to other people in the same way. In Jesus' name, amen.